Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas,
it's Cofield and Company, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Rolling on Cofield and Company. Circa. On this Thursday, Stadium Swim is the site coming out. During the day, it's great here. Full sun. When the sun goes down and then the lights come up, that sounds like a song. Is that a Journey song? It's awesome. And you got the 143-foot screen. You got, it's funny, all that Mountain West Conference stuff. Texas State's playing tonight.
Right.
And so is UTEP. Not against each other, but if you want to check those teams out. So we got that going on. And like I said, Thursday Night Football as well. So much to get to. Alex is here. It's Cofield. We're going to set Mike Palm up with headsets here in just a second. Back in our Finley Toyota studios, it's our pal Griffin. What's going on? On short notice, I appreciate it. There he is. We'll get him going at some point. Yeah,
some point. Really?
I mean, you never know. You know how it is. So, you guys were in the news a bunch this last week or so.
I don't know how these stories get out.
Well, you know what's funny? Is I'm going to out him, actually. Aaron's walking up now. Aaron's like, hey, just so you know, we did this with the offer. And he's like, don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And then I start texting Adam Hill 4 hours later. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess you're going to write about this publicly, huh?
Adam Hill reached out to Derek and right?
You can't keep a story down in Vegas
Brett
when
McMurphy,
Adam Hill's around.
Brett McMurphy was irate. Why would you have a local guy like Adam Hill break this story, you know?
Wait, stop. Now you're stirring the pot. I don't even think you know what you're stirring.
Was he mad? Am I stirring something?
Was he mad?
No, I don't say mad, but I mean, he'd like to, you know, maybe feed it to a national scope instead of a little review
not
journal.
Little
review
this
journal.
This is the Nevada
guy.
Sports Writer of the Year. This is a very famous Adam Hill.
Adam Hill was the best fill-in for Paul Howard when he took that long vacation. I have to tell you that. It's not even close.
You said this many times.
Many times. Why wouldn't they hire him? I mean, my God.
I don't know.
Get him out of a dying industry.
What do you mean, dying industry?
I mean, this newspaper. How many more years are we going to have newspapers?
Okay.
Newspapers I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, you can still work on it. You have power over there. You got your V-CIN shirt on now. You're like...
That's a guest. They give it to the guests now.
You're
the contributors. Contributor. I'm a contributor.
Okay, so this story, this Sluka story has a lot of waves to it. First of all, let me just get your opinion of what was out there, the way it was covered nationally. Just, hey, you know, you're a sports talk guy, so give me your take.
Well, my first reaction is we've come a long way where a kid whose team is like the fourth lowest odds to make the playoffs from the Group of Five is worried about his NIL money was my first. And then, of course, you get into the he said of the whole deal. And since that, we actually reached out with the offer and found out, you know, UNLV wasn't interested. They had moved on. I'm sure the kid was long gone by the time he made that post. You know, the people that run the NIL collective said, just think about this. Would a kid have been on campus 9 weeks being owed $100,000 and not have reached out? I mean, if you were made a promise, week one, you're going to the collective and saying, how am I getting paid? Not 9 weeks in after you beat two Power Four teams. So
I'm letting you finish say that. I'm just looking at you like... Yeah.
Yep.
I said that all last week. I'm like, who is buying this side of the story that a kid's going to sit around and not ask repeatedly? And then on the flip side, if you keep asking me as a coach and I've given you the same answer and over again, I'm like, you know what? You're my starter. At that point, if you're the coach, you'd be like, we got to make a decision here. And I'm certainly not putting my eggs in your basket as my starter.
Yeah.
How come it's like there's a lot of common sense stuff in this. I haven't heard of common sense.
To me also, a guy coming from Holy Cross would command $100,000? That also stretches my imagination.
Well, the story was that January, February, people are recruiting him because he's in the portal. And I do believe a bunch of schools came to him and said, hey, here's a good chunk of change. Supposedly Baylor, Mississippi State. Kansas State, some of the usual suspects, like that level below the big boys, but they're all trying to spend their way up to big boy status. They probably did say, hey, you know what? We'll give you money. But then Sluka apparently came back, and this is on the record, this part. I want to graduate from Holy Cross. I really respect that work I've done, and this is a 40-year decision. I can't be in for the spring. And then I think a lot of those schools were like, well, we need you here, man. So then UNLV stuck with them. and took him. But at that point, you know, I don't know what was promised. I don't think anything was promised. I think probably what happened is, hey, here's what you get. Maybe you can get more. Things happen. Things change. But
talking to well, they hired an agent, right, who now says on the open market you could get this. And talking to the collective people too, Coach Odom is very much against one player making 10x of any other player, right? And if Coach Odom makes a commitment, the first person he tells us, the collective, because they have the obligation to fundraise to that amount, right? Because they're going to have to pay it out. So there would, there's, you know, to the people that I've talked to, is that there's zero chance in hell that Barry Odom or anybody close to Barry Odom promised this kid $100,000.
And Odom has said on the record repeatedly that if people come to him, high school or transfers, and the first demand is, hey, what do I get? It's like, this ain't the program for you.
Yeah.
I mean, your guy in Iowa, Ferentz, I think, I think he operated mostly that way. I don't know why he got involved in the Alabama tackle and the back and forth, because those are the kind of things that happen sometimes.
You know, the whole McNamara thing, too, and I said it, and I do a lot of Iowa radio and TV every week, and my initial reaction to that story, which broke late at night as well, was I would just really hate for Kurt Ferentz's reputation of nepotism and non-inclusivity to be tarnished by this illegal recruiting. You know,
that's just so... You're so... You're the best with the sarcasm.
I could have taken over that punchline. I'm right here. I'm right here.
I heard it. Mike Palm is with us. Alex is ready. She's making sure. We don't step on you. We let you deliver your lines. That's a big faux pas on radio.
Yeah.
It's a big faux pas. So the other important question is, I think there's a lot of people out there who have said, hey, you know what? Derek did this pub stunt. He wouldn't have followed up on it. And I told people, I'm like,
no way.
Do you know Derek?
I've been meeting with people all week about how can we get this money distributed in the best way to help the most people. And met with the UNLV people. We're still having meet with Coach Odom and the AD and the assistant AD. But there's an idea out there about doing a Silver State Showdown where it's men's basketball, football, and then spring sports together. $25,000 to the collective of each school that wins those games, and then $25,000 to the team, the school that wins the majority. There's different ideas out there. There's the Central Valley, these girls' high school basketball collective in California that's going to have a girl committing to UNLV next week. You know, she said the guy reached out. You know, she'll come and be a lifeguard at Stadium Swim, help her with her moving expenses and stuff like that.
Did they reach out to you, or that was your idea?
They reached out, but they heard about when I said, well, Sluka could be a lifeguard, $100,000 lifeguard. It's because you know that casino cannot get involved
directly.
In
you cannot.
Derek could as an individual, but how can he market himself as an individual? So it would have to be a non-gaming entity on our properties, which Stadium Swim would be a perfect one.
What do you think of when Ricky White?
We made the formal offer to bring the offensive line down for dinner at Barry's. So we're coordinating that, whether it's next week or the week following on a Monday or Tuesday, and have Derek have dinner with him.
You got to have Ricky White around.
Ricky White is here a lot already. He's had a lot of dinners at Barry's.
Good. He's a good guy.
Oh, he's a really good guy.
He's a really good kid. And I know he really meant that about, hey, you know, don't worry about us, the stars on offense. Yep. Okay, so a couple things going on. There's a lot going on here. First of all, you got Fight House coming up with 307.
Yep.
So that should be good. That's a good card. And I wanted to get your reaction. You've watched enough MMA. At the Sphere, people got all annoyed at the end when the last two fights were kind of, grapple.
Say, yeah.
I mean, that's the fight game. Unfortunately, sometimes.
That's what it is. That's why I say the women's is better. The women's always has action.
I agree.
You can count. No, the women's is a much better product to me. Because there's always action in the women's. The men can just lean on each other for 15 minutes or however long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The women's is very entertaining.
Well, this card is going to be wild because the main event is Pajada, who's all offense. And then the guy who's facing can wrestle, but he's like, screw that. It's going to be all offense. So that could be pretty freaking wild. And you can jam this place pretty full too, right?
It meant so much to us. And part of the reason we got into sponsoring Slap was that connection to get to be able to broadcast.
Don't laugh!
To be able
I love
to,
Slap.
No,
I love Slap.
Slap.
Have you seen?
I went live.
Have you
I
seen?
Went.
So you saw the dumpling?
I went. Yes, saw the dumpling.
I mean, tell me. Come on. I'm not making a comment on your physique. I mean,
no.
Aaron. come on now. He's 5'9", like 335, and he's knocking people out with a slap.
They're actually athletes, right? It's just it's to take the punch is what's the real skill of that, right? That they can take that slap. It's amazing. And Dana just produces everything over the top. I mean, it's just terrific.
Why you're?
I would never go see that. I-
Alex is looking at me, though, and
you
left.
Should go see it once.
No, I can't.
Why? No, you have to. It's quick.
It's quick.
It's quick.
Because what you just said, I mean, them taking that slab, I get anxious even just waiting for that moment.
You'll be sending your kids to play football after you watch that.
That's a good point. Let's go for the safe option. You got a line. Do you write his lines today? Aaron's like, okay, you
who
can
writes
read this
for you? That's what people said when I didn't know hyperbole. Who's doing your writing? I said, the writer's strike. That's amazing that I'm on.
So 307 goes down, Fight House, here on Saturday. Good card, lots of veterans. I think Kayla Harrison is actually the best female fighter in the world, so you get to see her. Okay, last 3 minutes with Mike Palm on Cofield & Company. I mean, Circa Survivor, unbelievable. I mean, how many are left now after last week?
480.
So another 160 went out.
Yeah, 110 on the Bickersons, the Jets.
I got all the good. I'm stealing that.
I'm starting.
I'm a Jets fan. I need the Bickersons.
I'm starting to have more respect for, like, Matt LaFleur, that he dealt with that. I was always criticized. He can't win a home playoff game. But you have to deal with it. I mean, if Rodgers gets pissed off enough, he's just going to say, he'll have an injury, won't play anymore. I mean, this guy's out there.
Well,
he's totally
but here's the thing. As a coach, Robert Saleh, you should know, don't go, oh, maybe we'll change the cadence. Well,
Robert,
why would you
Robert
say that?
Saleh's won 30% of his game. What do you want?
I know.
What do you
want? My expectations should be here, even with a savior quarterback. It doesn't freaking matter. So you guys were offering for everyone in Circus Survivors out hotel stays.
Yeah.
How many have actually – like, I wonder how long it takes to get over the bitterness and go, all right, I'm getting something.
No. Like, the first day we announced it, we had 60 people take up the offer.
Nice.
And they'll trickle in. We'll probably do, like, 200. 200 people will take up the offer. So there's 480 left, and there's, like, 330 people left. I think there's two people that still have 8 entries, but the great majority are now down to 1. So it'll be interesting. Do you play it safe now that you're down to 480? Well, these people got here by not playing it safe because the top picks lose every week, right? They've zigged when everyone else was zagging. So keep doing what you're doing. Maybe the Packers on the road this week is the play.
I don't remember that valuation stuff on the remaining tickets. Was that happening last year?
Yeah. Okay, but much later into the year, right?
Yeah, obviously, yes. But people are like, wait, I'm 4 weeks in.
The documentary might be over early.
Right. My ticket's worth $4,800.
I said to Mitch Moss, I mean, he's all glum. He's still got an entry left. I said, you're one of 480. If this was week 14, you'd be excited. But because there's such carnage, you're all glum. It's all about perspective in life.
I mean, doesn't every Mitch story start with he's all glum?
Yeah, it always starts with he's all glum.
No matter how good it's going.
He's blaming. Did you see the Connecticut Sun? They had to share their practice court with a 2-year-old birthday party at Mohegan Sun the day before they played the Fever. And they were all upset. I said, I hope they don't release the name of that 2-year-old baby, because that baby will get as much blame as Sebastian Moss for his losing streak. I mean, that'll be the most.
I'm sorry, you are on fire today.
Shannon Kelly was on earlier, huh?
She's coming up.
Oh, she's coming up. Say hi for me. I remember when she was a star at Centennial. Just a little
Look
kid.
At that, yeah, she's
the
doing,
best.
Yeah,
she's really good.
She's really good. Uh-huh. So we are up against it. I know you guys have so much stuff going on.
I really
appreciate
Alex.
Yeah. Sorry.
Alex was terrific. Send this tape
really
to your agent.
Yeah.
I got on a roll. You got on a roll. It happened. All right, we appreciate the time. Everyone, come out here for the fights, and of course, try the aforementioned Barry's. That's fantastic. And inside, how many pixels? 7-8 million? 7-8 million, I think.
Approximately.
Is that right? Someone comes in counting it up. It's only 77.95. All right, Mike, we appreciate it. We're coming back. Shannon is on the way.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We got 2 more years in whatever this weird agreement is that we have with people that, like, we're divorced, but we're living in the same house. Okay, that's what we're doing. All right, so that's ridiculous to me. Right, just move on if this is what we're going to do. But if we're not, that's fine. Maybe certain teams won't have as loud a voice at the table at the conference meetings. Maybe that's what's going to come of this.
Oh, I love that so much. Jeff Choate, the head coach at Nevada, kind of pulling the curtain back a little bit. Like, anyone who thinks that 5 schools can leave a conference and they get to stay around for 1.75 years and that everything's going to go real smoothly and nicely, I love that he just said that. The divorce analogy is perfect because you know there's a lot of bitter feelings. And right. Jeff Choate's right. You know what you get to say at the Mountain West Conference table? Nothing. Nothing. You pipe down. Text with the Pac-12 right now, and the we're going to do business. Bringing Shannon Kelly. I'm jacked up today. Shannon from Nevada Sports Net. I'm just irked. I'm irked about this. I keep seeing Boise people worrying about what's going on in the Mountain West. You left. Don't worry about us. What's going on with you?
Hey, guys. I'm with you on that. I think that line was great. And that quote is going to go down all time as one of the best quotes of the Jeff Choate tenure at Nevada, hands down.
I wonder what would happen if Jeff got a call from the Mountain West Conference audience and they were like, hey, you know, watch what you're saying. And I'm sure Jeff would be like, or what? What threat do you have left? No, I'm not piping down. He's been, I like him, man. He's a breath of fresh air, and I don't think he has a filter. It's great for us in the media.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every week we never know what quote we're going to get from Coach Choate, but, you know, he's very honest, and I think that's something Wolfpack fans appreciate, the honesty and the upfrontness of, you know, what he has to say. So I think that quote, though, like you said, it is. It's a very interesting situation that, hey, if, you know, this is the way things are going to be in 2 years, then what are we still doing now? But I think on the other token, maybe, you know, you have to look, too, at the NCAA tournament units, potential college football playoff berths, and how much revenue the Mountain West could still potentially generate from these teams before they do leave for the Pac-12.
Shannon, I got to talk with you before the Troy game, and then Nevada won that one. So now we've got another matchup coming up here against San Jose State. What is going to be the key to the game here for the Wolfpack?
Yeah, I think for Nevada, the biggest thing is they're going to have to get their run game going once again and winning the turnover battle. That's another big component. But also, how is Nevada going to slow down San Jose State's offense, this past heavy offense? You know, it's going to be... You know, they're not going to be able to slow them down completely, but how do they limit the Spartans and not let them get those explosive plays? You look at Nick Nash, the Spartans wide receiver, leads the nation with 8 receiving touchdowns through 4 games this year. He leads the conference in a bunch of other statistical categories. And so how is Nevada going to slow him and the rest of the offense down? And, you know, this is the Spartans team that also creates a lot of turnovers. So that's going to be something else, I think, it'll be important to watch out for, too.
Circa here on Thursday. Well, let's continue on this, and I want to get back to the conference stuff in a couple of minutes. But, you know, the Nevada run game has been really good, and I'm not sure that San Jose State defensively can stop the run game. So that's kind of the battle here, is slowing down Nick Nash or, you know, super excelling on the Nevada side with the run game. Can you talk about how good the run game has been, and especially because Lewis is such a threat at the quarterback?
Exactly, and that's, you know, half of it there. When you have Brendan Lewis and his ability to use his legs, we saw in the Eastern Washington game just how well he was able to get the run game going just by using his legs. And then you look at Patrick Garbo, who had 2 touchdowns, Savion Redd, 2 touchdowns, and, you know, it was the first time 2 from Nevada had 2 rushing touchdowns, I believe, in, gosh, more than, it's been a long time, let's put it that way, before Ray Norvell's tenure with the Wolfpack. So I think it's just been good to see how, you know, Jeff Choate said, hey, we're going to run the ball. He made that very clear on day 1 of taking over this job, and now, you know, 5 games in, Nevada has done that, and they're slowly building their identity around running the ball. And that's been, you know, such a big important factor, as well as having Brendan Lewis, you know, a quarterback that can run and really use his legs as well as throw the ball.
Going back to that conference talk, and we're about to see the Texas State and Troy game kick off here. Didn't cement the deal. How nice would it have been to get Texas State in the Mountain West?
I think it would have been nice, just having gone there last year, just seeing their facilities, and I thought their football stadium was very nice. They drew a large crowd for that game against Nevada, and, you know, it's close to Austin, close to San Antonio, so close to some big media markets. So I think, you know, had the Mountain West gotten Texas State, as well as now getting UTEP, so having 2 schools in Texas, I think would have certainly helped, especially with recruiting, too. So I think that would have been a nice get. You look at Texas State last year, they had 8 wins under G.J. Kinney. You saw how he turned around the program over at Incarnate Word, and then also now at Texas State last year. So, yeah, I think it would have been a good get, but, hey, we'll see who the Mountain West targets for that next spot in the Mountain West here in a couple of years.
Sorry, Shannon. Shannon Kelly's with us, Cofield & Company, Nevada Sportsnet. It looks like they're trying to just go within and get Hawaii on board as a full member with all the sports. What do you think of that idea? There are challenges, though, obviously, because not every school in the conference is super wealthy for travel, and Hawaii's got its own struggles, so they're going to have to figure something out there with travel.
Yeah, and that's exactly. I think that's the toughest thing is how is the travel going to work when you look at now with Hawaii, you know, playing mainly schools in California. That's not as difficult of a travel, you know, per se, but still, I think in all sports that could become more difficult. But Hawaii also has baseball, which is a big part, you know, Mountain West. Not every school now has baseball, so that would be helpful. They've had a pretty solid basketball program, too. Volleyball, women's volleyball is always good. So, yeah, I think that certainly is worth exploring, and, hey, if they can figure something out. But I think the travel, logistically, that's going to be the biggest thing. You look at football, teams are chartering over there. So then when you have to add in the other sports and Olympic sports that aren't chartering, what does that look like?
Jenna Kelly's up with Cofield and Company. Last couple, one, back to the football side of things. I saw you did a feature, really good feature on video, with one of the running backs who's actually out of Pennsylvania, but his family's originally from Liberia.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Patrick Garbo, he has a really, really cool story. His family grew up in Liberia and then migrated over to America, and he grew up in Pennsylvania, a small town outside of Philadelphia, and he actually had played soccer, and it wasn't until eighth grade when he had a coach who was convincing him to play football, was like, hey, you know, this would translate pretty well, you should give it a try, because he didn't grow up playing football, and, you know, football over in Liberia is soccer, so that's all he really knew. But then, you know, slowly started to find his way playing football, and Mike Lynch, the Nevada running backs coach, had recruited him previously to Syracuse when he was an assistant there, and that relationship had held since Garbo had went to Boston College for 5 years before transferring to Nevada this offseason. So pretty cool story how his journey is kind of coming all full circle here with Nevada this year, and he's been such a big part to Nevada's run game.
Shannon, tell people where they can find you up on Twitter.
Up on Twitter at ShaneKelly_TV, and then we're always on Nevada Sportsnet at Nevada Sportsnet and NevadaSportsnet.com.
Yep, and if you go to the website, Chris Murray is as good as anyone in the conference when it comes to writing about all the conference chaos, so make sure you check that out, Vegas, for updates on that. Shannon, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, guys. Yeah, I got to give a shout-out to Chris Murray. He's been like that fast cat typing, like constantly, that GIF. He's been doing a great job. These last several weeks, as always. So,
thanks, Shannon. Yeah, it is one of the unfortunate things about the Mountain West Conference, and I guess you probably don't want to tell TV people this, who are looking to dole out money potentially, and Mountain West wants to negotiate big TV deals because of a lot of the print side getting shrunk down in all these different markets.
Right.
For sports writers. A lot of the Mountain West Conference schools don't get the coverage they should be getting or used to get.
Yeah.
So guys like Jeff Kramer and Chris Murray, and they're invaluable because all this money stuff behind the scenes. Like, actually, what I was reading earlier about Hawaii and the 5% share they're going to get of, that's the plan, of the future monies before they renegotiate, and UNLV getting this and the Air Force getting this. That was all sourced from Chris Murray, and Jeff Kramer's done a really good job in all this. Can I tell you that I don't like the conference chaos. I understand it's, people feel like it's necessary. I don't think the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, like, either one's really accomplished anything here. That's going to make them much better off down the road.
No, I agree with you. I mean, the split of the Mountain West is kind of unnecessary in general.
I mean, ideally, they could have been a conference with 16, 18, 20 schools and really had some negotiating power. But like Jeff Choate said, I guess they're, you know, he's calling it a divorce. There was a, believe me, we followed this along the way. There was a lot of problems in the house. A lot of big, what did Mike Palm call the Jets? The Bickersons?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the Bickerson family. That's what the Mountain West used to be. So now you got what you wanted, and everyone split up, and now they're both going to go to the table with TV, and TV's going to look at it and go, I mean, what?
Yes.
What'd you do here? Like, as a whole, you guys had real value. Split up, yeah, we can give you a pittance of what we were going to offer. It's just, it's very messed up. Very messed up. I think, and I'm sorry for the folks who are listening in the North, because we're on in Reno and Sparks and in Northern Nevada, and this is brought to you, this hour is brought to you every day by Battleborn Injury Alert, 766-1400. I don't think Based on what I've seen so far, I don't think the Wolfpack schedule has been of super quality. I think San Jose State has played quality opponents, has come out of the games mostly looking pretty good. I don't know if the Pack run game is going to be enough to outpace what... This is kind of cool with Coach Ken.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's a guy who, because of out of necessity with Navy, ran the ball a lot. And now they're like, hey, I brought in a passing guy as OC. We're going to throw it all over the yard.
Right. Yeah, no, you do like to see that.
What are you doing with this number? So it's six. It was 6.5 yesterday. I'll get the update. What do you want to do with it?
I made it a lot higher.
You did?
6.5. I did.
So then you're laying the points.
Yes, you technically should be laying the points.
Right, the value's on the Spartan side.
I've only really taken some dogs so far this week, but there's some favorites that I'm
going to lay it! Lay it!
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas,
it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, that San Jose State game, Alex White here. It's Cofield. Alex White is here. It's Cofield. San Jose State now at a solid 7. So people bet right up to the key number.
Yeah.
I don't know if it goes through it, but I'll be impressed if the Pack can stay in this one. But maybe they run the ball well enough that it'll set up some more effective passing from Brendan Lewis. But a lot of people, and I try to warn everyone, and I don't vote in the media poll on the football side, tried to warn everyone on San Jose State, do not leave them for dead. And they were, I think, picked 9th in the preseason poll by the media. Wrong.
I think I had them pretty low to start the season, too. I've had to upgrade them.
Emmett Brown, you know, high-profile transfer quarterback, which, by the way, and if you look at his numbers, he's been more than respectable. He's good, and he's young, too. Last year, Washington State, Emmett Brown behind John Mateer, behind Cam Ward.
Wow.
That was a good quarterback room.
Really good quarterback room.
Have you watched John Mateer in Washington State?
Yes, I have.
He's good.
Yes.
He's good. He's a cool, really good dual threat quarterback. He was just, last week against Boise, he was just under so much pressure that it got out of control. Boise's defense, while not a shutout type defense, they can get to the quarterback and they create havoc, and they did last week.
I thought that was a good spot for Boise State. Washington State coming into that game undefeated, but they have looked good, and I was impressed that we'd see a fall off this year, at least a little bit. But
so we started early in the show talking about Davante Adams and the fact that he's sidelined right now. They're not going to play him until they can move him, and the Raiders have said we're going to be patient. We don't have to move him immediately. We're going to get value for him. I don't think I've seen Tyreek Hill's officially on the block, but obviously there's chatter around that because you don't know if Tua's coming back. Do they get too far in the hole where they just have no chance of the playoffs? That would not be a good thing if Tyreek Hill goes officially on the block while the Raiders are waiting to get value on Adams.
No, it would not.
Who would you rather have?
Tyreek Hill.
Really?
He's the cheetah. Yes.
Don't ever judge my... really, as like some position I'm taking, because I really was not taking a position. I would actually take... No, I can't say.
Justin Jefferson first.
Well, he's not on the block, right? I was going to say I would take Adams over Tyreek, but I don't know who the quarterback is, so each team is a little bit different.
Why would you take Adams over?
Okay, I judge a lot on how, while a player can be great and their ultimate upside, you can just calculate what they do on the field. I think off the field counts.
Okay.
And I think both guys bring some baggage with them. And I'm always worried that Tyreek Hill's next football game could be his last. Like something could happen. Who knows? I'm not talking like tragic, but something could happen where you're like, okay, well, he's going to get suspended. He's gone 4 or 6 games. Like, I don't think Adams is that. I think Adams is a little bit chirpy in the locker room and around the team. So they both bring some baggage. They're both awesome.
Adams is like the bag size that you're allowed to bring into Allegiant compared to Tyreek Hill's suitcases.
Yes, he's a giant duffel bag. Yeah, yes. You're right. Multiple suitcases. Good point.
Yes.
I mean, they can both help someone. Could, and I do not want to have a discussion because I also don't think it matters with certain organizations. Could the Chiefs and I don't even know if they have a bury the hatchet situation. Could they deal with each other for a short amount of time?
I think so.
In a time of need.
Absolutely. Tyreek Hill thought he was leaving and thought they were going to miss him a lot more than they did.
Nope.
And then he started to just enjoy football in a different way, I guess, and not so much chasing rings.
Yeah.
I think he would go back in a heartbeat to try and get another ring.
Well, they were doing okay without him, but then they also lost three of their best weapons, like, within a three-week period. So sometimes you get to a point where you're like, hey, we got to bring, again, with the divorce and the ex, and then we got to get back together to make some good times for, like, 4 months. Can we get along? Can we stay under the same roof and coexist? We want a Super Bowl. But, yeah, if it's official that Tyreek Hill goes on the market and Adams is on the market, that is, again, for the Raiders, we're like, what has happened here? This was not the plan. This is not optimal.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Right, back here, Circa Las Vegas. I've lost my mind. I'm very discombobulated. Here's my latest issue, and let's bring in Brad Powers. We have a topic. We need someone smart to solve. Brad, how are you, buddy?
I don't know if I'm the guy. If you said that you need someone smart.
Okay, I'm looking at conference realignment, and I'm concerned about my future and where I may be. And this may mean, like, I'm going to get fired from ESPN Las Vegas tomorrow, and I got to be somewhere where they play Mountain West Conference football. Did you have any idea where Tarleton State is?
It's in Texas, isn't it?
It is. Okay. So it's Tarleton State, and maybe Texas State is in the mix. Do you know where San Marcos, Texas is, and do you know where Stephenville, Texas is?
San Marcos is off of I-35. In between, you know, you're heading north from San Antonio. It's before you get to, you know, I think Austin. So okay. It's in the mix there. Steven, I don't know where that one is.
I think I know. Like, I have a pretty deep database.
East Texas,
I
was good with, isn't it?
It's actually central, but it's actually south of Dallas in Fort Worth. I would have no idea where that was.
Got me. They're relatively new to the FCS, so
I
don't know that one by heart yet.
But the great thing is, because it's Texas football, you're like, oh, they must have like $28 million in NIL. Like, there's just Texans love football. They're like, who do we get to back? Yeah, here's $10 million.
Yeah, I was traveling in Texas a couple years ago, and I was like, man, what stadium is that? I was like, what college is that? Not a college, high school.
Yep, that's my favorite when they're like, yeah, we got this one done for $42 million for this high school. And you're like, wait a second, $42 million in the Mountain West? That high school would be like the second highest budget in the current Mountain West football. Okay, let's go back to last week to set up this week. Alex White is here from South Point Studios. And, of course, our buddy Brad Powers is here, Brad Powers 7-Up on Twitter. I wrote a note in our story or our list of games here. Am I crazy if I say I want to downgrade Alabama and Georgia a little bit because of what I saw on the back end on defense?
Oh, wow. That's going beyond what I thought you were capable of. So, not a shot, but I'm just saying that's a sharp way of thinking things. Because on one hand, you got to be impressed with what Alabama did in the first, 20 minutes of the game. And then, I mean, if you're realistically looking at it, you got to be concerned with that Alabama defense, what you saw. The fact that they almost gave up a 4-touchdown lead at home when Carson Beck played as poorly as he did. So I was conflicted. I didn't do much with either team's power rating. I certainly downgraded Georgia a little bit, but I still have Georgia number one in my power ratings.
Wow, I did upgrade Alabama just a little bit. I have Georgia and Bama the same right now, and Texas still at number one. Can you tell me who your top five are?
Yeah, so obviously Georgia will be one. Two will be the Buckeyes. We'll get a good look finally this week against Iowa and the next week against Oregon. Three would be Alabama. Four is Texas, but keep in mind that's with Ewers out. I do think it's a little bit of a downgrade with Arch, even though he's played well. And then five, I think, is Tennessee.
All right, let's go to Ohio State and Iowa. We got a great game here in terms of we got a spread just below 3 touchdowns. We got a total at 45.5. So what are we doing here with the Buckeyes and the Hawkeyes?
Tough one because Ohio State really hasn't played anybody yet. And they've been dominant, but should be when you're playing little sisters of the poor. I thought Michigan State moved the football on them last week. They turned it over three times in the red zone. So, boy, Iowa has been better offensively, but I don't know yet. I'm not buying the quarterback. The run game definitely is better this year for the Hawkeyes. I bet Iowa number not available anymore at the current numbers. It's kind of a pass for me.
Looking at this Clemson game, 14.5 point favorite over Florida State. I've had a hard time with Clemson. I feel like I've had to keep upgrading them after their big wins. What are you going to do in this game?
Well, I held my nose and bet Florida State just because I'm not used to seeing a 14.5 with the Noles. And keep in mind, in the summer, you could have bet this game, South Point, or in a lot of places. Florida State was a 4-point favorite. And, I mean, we've seen a significant downgrade in them. I'll say one game, they'll get a bump with Brock Glenn at quarterback. They won't win the game, but I think they can cover.
Here's another one that I'm very interested in getting your take here. Washington minus 2.5 against Michigan. We know Michigan has no pass game, but they have been able to get some wins here with this defense. What do you like in this one, side or total?
Yeah, of the games we mentioned so far, I like Washington the best. I mean, last I checked, Portnoy hasn't signed a quarterback yet for Michigan, so no passing game on the road for the first time this season. Fortunate in two of their games already this year, obviously USC and Minnesota. Washington, not unfortunate to lose to Rutgers. I mean, I mean you watched that game. I mean, it was one of the most misleading finals of the season. Then, you know, just had a bad play call down there at the end against Washington State. So you change a couple plays here, and we're dealing with at least three, if not higher. So that screams value to me on Washington.
You mentioned, well, you know what, I want to stick with one more Big Ten game. How much confidence do we have now that USC can play power football, can go on the road? You know what, I'll admit I didn't check the weather if it's inclement in Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota is very good, but this is a healthy number that the Trojans are laying.
Well, I mean, I think it should be more, but there's supposed to be some wind, and that obviously impacts a team that can actually, you know, throw it consistently, that being SC. I bet SC. I don't like Minnesota this year, so it's more of an anti-Minnesota play than anything. But we'll see. We'll get a good idea. Good for them, for SC, for, you know, that 28-0 second half against Wisconsin last week. We'll really get an idea next week when Penn State comes at the Coliseum.
You know, it's funny when you mention you're not accustomed to seeing certain numbers and it kind of throws you off. Are you thrown off in this spot with Tennessee laying just about the same, that same number going back to, you know, whatever, 13.5, 14, 14.5?
Yeah, I mean, I took Arkansas early in the week. It was above 14, just numbers game. Right now, I'd bet the over, honestly. I think Tennessee's offense kind of kept it under wraps in the second half. They didn't need to do anything against Oklahoma. I think Arkansas's, you know, going to give their defense a little bit more fits with Taylen Green running around. I mean, he might throw it to the opposing team, but he'll at least, you know, can combat that Tennessee defensive front with his athleticism. So I like the over.
BradPowerSports.com, BradPower7. We're here at Circa Stadium Swim. We got the, what do we got up there? Texas State. Ooh, okay. Got them in the conference. It's 14-0. Game by game, you proven grounds game here against Troy.
They blew a 22-0 lead last week.
By the way, we didn't actually ask you specifically, is Texas State worth a conference like the Mountain West Conference grabbing?
Yeah, they
upside?
Got money. Yep. Yeah, that's, they're worthy of it. If they had the right coach, they have a good-looking facility there, and obviously right off 35, good recruiting landscape there.
I always have a little hesitation before jumping on board with Mario Cristobal when he might have a great team. This is a weird spot, obviously, because these games just don't happen. And Miami never goes this far west. What do you think Miami lay in this number against Cal?
Yeah, I mean, your reservations were almost correct last week. I mean, they almost lost to Virginia Tech. I think they got a little bit of a wake-up call, you dink, last week against Virginia Tech. So I think they're a little bit more focused here. I'm not buying Cal. I mean, hell, they lost to Florida State. That's a bad data point, to be honest with you, to lose to this Florida State team when the very next week they get crushed by SMU. So I know game day's there for the first time ever. I know it's a weird travel spot and all that, but I bet numbers. I laid it with Miami.
And I always have my reservations with Hugh Freeze's team in Auburn, but 22.5 points is a lot of points. You think they can cover that against Georgia after that pretty emotional game against Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, well, deservedly so. I mean, Hugh Freeze, I think, is 8-13 in his last 21 games, and he's been favored in 15 of those 21 games. So I'm not sure there's a coach in America that's underperformed more than Hugh Freeze going back to his final few games when he was Liberty coach. I hear you on that. It's just that they got to stop turning the football over. I can't back a team that turns it over consistently because, I mean, turnovers are the most important stat when it comes to who covered the game and who didn't cover. And obviously, Auburn hasn't covered because they have ill-timed turnovers. Look at last week. Clearly looked like the right side in that game. Majority of the game, throw a pick six. You're not the right side.
I'm going to throw two at you. And I like both dogs here. I wish I could give it out so people could still get the three, but it's 2.5 now. It's Pittsburgh going to North Carolina. North Carolina getting 2.5 points. And then UCF, little brother versus big brother, Florida is getting 2.5 points. Do you like either of those dogs or are you on the other side?
I can't get to the window at all in the UCF-Florida game. I don't trust UCF. That was a horrific performance last week against Colorado, as bad as any I've seen all year. They failed to cover by 6 touchdowns in a home run spot. So, if it got to 3, I'd be with you on Florida. We'll see if it gets there. I'm definitely not with you on North Carolina. I think this is it for Mack Brown. How does a team pull itself back up after losing, you know, to James Madison allowing 70 points? Then you think, okay, we rebounded. We're up 20-0 in the third quarter against Duke, and we lose to our rival. I think the show is over. So Pittsburgh off a bye with a nice high-flying offense. I'm laying it with Pitt.
Yeah, Mack Brown's a veteran. He's 70-plus years old. He's done a lot of winning, won a national title, so I'm an ass to try to give him any advice. But I thought after that James Madison game when he came out and he's like, I'll quit. If that's what, like, that ain't going to work. Like, that's not going to turn the team around. In fact, it's probably going to do the opposite. So, all right, let's go.
Well, they looked motivated early, but, I mean, there's nothing worse than, you know, blowing a lead.
Yep. All right, let's talk Mountain West Conference rapid fire here in the last couple of minutes. Big one tomorrow. You've gone to games. You had season tickets. You're going to be out there at Allegiant for Syracuse and UNLV?
Yeah, I'll be there. I gave away my season tickets. UNLV fans should rejoice because, I mean, I saw a lot of losing football for a lot of years. And the only game I went to last year was the Boise State Mountain West Championship game. So maybe somebody will pay me not to go tomorrow. That's a big game. I got to go. I love college football. So I did bet UNLV a long time ago, a number far, far away. Looking to take back those Syracuse if it hits 7. What I do prefer right now is the over. I mean, I think UNLV, obviously, I think the offense is better with Haj Malik because they can throw the football and get it, most importantly, to the best player on offense, that being Ricky White. He doesn't touch the football for 3 games. All of a sudden, you change the quarterback, he has 10 catches. So I like that for UNLV. I think Syracuse offense will give him some fits. I mean, who had Kyle McCord leading the nation in passing on their bingo card?
No, and it's from a strategic standpoint, you know, this was UNLV's weakness last year, was against the quarterbacks who were firing all over the field, firing deep, and this is another test to show, hey, you know what, they shored up the back end, they can defend the deep pass.
I don't know if we have an answer to that yet, because I mean the offenses they've faced, especially Houston, leaves a lot to be desired, and Kansas continues to struggle.
Well, I think they've also helped out the back end by having a vicious rush, and their blitz packages have, I mean, Mikey Keene was freaked out last week. He lost it, and there were a bunch of times he just rolled out, and he's like, the hell with this. I'm throwing it out of bounds.
That Syracuse offensive line ain't great either, so that's the advantage UNLV can take advantage of.
So that could be a big key. Alex and I, sorry for the folks up in Northern Nevada, but Alex and I are both thinking that San Jose State yesterday laying 6.5 and maybe even 7, that ain't enough. Is the run game powerful enough to do some damage for the Pack and keep San Jose State's pass game off the field?
I hope so. I bet Reno. So I'm rooting for the Wolfpack this week.
All right, short and simple. Brad, we appreciate it, buddy. Have a good week.
I appreciate you guys. You guys take care.
That is the fact that Brad mentioned he's not going to the games anymore. When I talk to people out of market about UNLV football, that will be the I know this guy, Brad, and he was an incredible jinx. He doesn't go to the games anymore. Everything's turned around. Fact. All right, we go to the 5 o'clock hour. Kenny Mayne is going to join us. We're going to talk about distinguished alums and eating donuts.